Judges chapter 15. And last time we began the story of Samson, and we will continue with that today. Judges chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, "Let me go into my wife, into her room." But her father would not permit him to go in. Samson was so arrogant and so self-centered that he thought he could do things his way all the time and get away with it. But no one can do things their own way all the time. And Samson will not have his own way here. Verse 2. Her father said, "I really thought you thoroughly hated her. Therefore I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead." Well, Samson finds out that his supposed wife was given to his best man after he left his wife standing at the altar, as it were. 3. And Samson said to them, "This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them," implying that he knew he was wrong the last time he did things to them. And he's going to get revenge, which is the story of his life. 4. Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of the tails. And when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. Well, this is pretty amazing. You say, "I don't believe he could do it." Oh, yes. Remember, he was anointed by God with superhuman strength, as it were. Now, he misused it, and he used that strength and those gifts to do foolish things like this, vengeful things. But nevertheless, he was able to do it by the power of God. And I guess you want to feel sorry for these foxes. That might not be a bad idea. He ties them together by their tails, put a lit torch between the tails, and let them go. And they must have just been spinning around in the wheat fields like a bunch of tornadoes. And there goes the grain. Philistines are not going to be too happy about that. Verse 6, then the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" Did they really have to ask? Who do you think would do something like this? And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. This thing is just escalating completely out of control. Now his wife is dead, and his father-in-law is dead because of his foolish revenge. And that's what happens when you don't let the Lord take care of things, but you take matters into your own hands, doing things your own way, your own unbiblical way. Samson said to them, verse 7, "Since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will cease." He said, "I'm going to do one more thing. I'm going to get revenge one more time. You killed my wife and my father-in-law. I'm going to get you back one more time, and then I'll stop." Well, by then it's going to be too late. 8. So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Etam. And so he satisfied his vengeance. And then he went and he hid in some rocks. Verse 9. Now the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. Samson has been guilty of many sins, and he has also been guilty of misusing his God-given strength. And so his ungodly life has taken its toll on others and also on him, and it has brought him to the place where he is now living in a cave. Sin takes its toll on a person's quality of life. It may happen slowly, but over a period of time, with no repentance, sin chips away at life until it's not nearly as nice as it once was. Samson's latest sinful escapade involved killing many Philistines in an act of vengeance. And as a result, as I said, he's hiding in a cave. That's the quality of life that he has. 9 and 10. Now the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" So they answered, "We have come up to arrest Samson, to do to him as he has done to us." The Philistines want Samson dead. He has been a pain in the neck to them for a long time. And if Israel doesn't hand Samson over to the Philistines, then Israel will pay. As a result, some Israelite men will go to the cave and attempt to talk Samson into surrendering. 11. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines rule over us?" In other words, Samson, "God called you to be our leader and our deliverer, but all you do is make life miserable for us. Instead of delivering Israel from the Philistines, Samson antagonized the Philistines and continually stirred up trouble for his people. He was like a loose cannon. And his fellow Israelites are sick of all the trouble that he's causing them." Last part of verse 11. "What is this you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." Samson didn't care about how his sin affected others. He did what he felt like doing. And that was his problem. He had been called by God to fight on behalf of God's people. Instead, he used his great strength to do selfish, sinful things and cause trouble for God's people. 12. But they said to him, "We have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines." Then Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves." So they spoke to him, saying, "No, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you." And they bound him with two new ropes and bound and brought him up from the rock. The Philistines likely gave the Israelites a choice: hand over Samson or we'll kill you. And so the Israelites talked Samson into surrendering to the Philistines. And you say, well, it looks like Samson has learned to take responsibility for the trouble he was brought on others. Well, look at 14. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. The strength of God comes upon Samson. He snaps the ropes, and he is ready for action. 15. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. Samson was called by God to deliver his people from the Philistines. And he does pretty well at times, like right here. 17. And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramath Lehi. Then he became very thirsty. So he cried out to the Lord and said, you have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? Samson thinks the whole world should revolve around him, and that everything exists to satisfy him. That's why he complains to God, because he's thirsty. Don't you know who I am, God? I'm Samson. I shouldn't be experiencing any discomfort. I should always have things my way. Don't you know that? It's always good to remember that things are working together to fulfill God's purposes, not our immediate desires. 19. So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore he called its name En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Samson probably had more natural ability than any other deliverer who was ever called to help God's people. And yet, he never completely defeated those Philistines. And that's because Samson never was completely devoted to God. God-given natural ability and God-given spiritual gifts will not accomplish the good that God intends if the person who has them isn't sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 16. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went in to her. Samson never achieved total victory over the Philistines. And one reason he didn't is because he liked having them around. At least he liked having the Philistine women around. And the same is true for Christians. Christians will not get victory over their sin until they are sick of it and they want it out of their life, no matter what. God will not deliver people from their sin as long as they still want to play with it. Verse 2. When the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him. The Philistine city of Gaza puts together a militia to kill Samson when he leaves the prostitute's house in the morning. That's their plan. Verse 2, and Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city, and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. So Samson pulls a fast one on the militia by getting up in the middle of the night and leaving. And it talks about the city gates here. You know, the city gates were locked. And so Samson uses his God-given strength to bust them loose. And then, like the idiot he was, he carried them 36 miles. You see, this is just another example of him wasting a God-given gift to do something foolish. God gives his people a measure of gifts and talents and resources and opportunities to be used in service to him. Too often, though, they are squandered by doing foolish, useless, and even sinful things. Verse 4. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him, and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, and we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So they want to buy information from her concerning Samson. He loves her, and he thinks that she loves him, which means he trusts her. And that also means it's open season on Samson, and he's about to be manipulated. 6. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies, and with what you may be bound to afflict you." In other words, she asks, "Why are you so strong, Samson? And how could anyone possibly control you?" And his answer should be, "It's none of your business, lady." 7. And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." And he's just horsing around with her. He probably just said the first foolish thing that popped into his head. Verse 8. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Samson, again, is just toying with Delilah. He's making her look foolish, but he is also foolish. He's foolish for hanging around someone who obviously wants to weaken him and destroy the gift that God gave him, and along with it, his usefulness to the Lord. 10. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off his arms like a thread. And why isn't Samson suspicious of this woman who continues to do what she is told will weaken him? 13. Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom." So she wove it tightly with the baton of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the baton and the web from the loom. She weaved his hair into her loom, and that would be sort of like twisting it around a picket fence and tying it tight. But once again, didn't work. Wouldn't you be suspicious if you were Samson? 15. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. How can you say that you love me? Well, why doesn't he say to her, how can you say that you love me if you always do these things that you think will weaken me? What's going on here, Delilah? But Samson thinks with his hormones, not with his head. Anyways, Delilah uses the you don't love me tactic. Don't get drawn into something that is wrong simply because someone uses the you don't love me or the poor me tactics. Do not let someone play on your emotions and cause you to do something that God in His Word forbids. You'll be sorry. If you have to disobey God to please someone, the price is too high. Tell them to forget it. 16. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. If we don't walk away from a spiritually dangerous situation, then it's going to wear us down and we're going to eventually lose our resistance. Look at 16 and 17. It came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Do you ever have a mosquito buzz around your ear while you're trying to fall asleep at night? You try to swat it, but it keeps coming back. And so you finally get up out of your comfortable bed, turn on the light, and you kill it. You didn't want to get out of bed, but it got to the point where it just wasn't worth the hassle. So you give in, you get up. And Delilah was a mosquito, and she was driving Samson crazy. So he finally just told her. 18. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. There was no magic in Samson's hair. He was a Nazarite Jew, which meant he couldn't touch a dead animal. He couldn't drink animal. He couldn't cut his hair. The haircut wasn't the main problem. His disobedience was the problem. He broke every rule in the book. He toyed with sacred things. He told this heathen girl the source of his strength. His strength left him because he left God. Putting himself in this situation where his hair could be cut off was the straw that broke the camel's back. 20. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Samson disobeyed God without repenting one too many times. So now he is on his own. God left, took his strength with him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. And they bound him with bronze fetters. And he became a grinder in the prison. Well, you know, lusting after pretty women won't be a temptation for Samson anymore, now that his eyes are gone. God sometimes judges impenitent sinners by removing from them the means to commit the sin that they refuse to give up of their own free will. 22. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. His hair grew back, but not his eyes. He could restore his fellowship with God through repentance, but his blindness was a lasting reminder of his sin. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god and to rejoice, and they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands and Samson our enemy." And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." So it happened, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may perform for us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. The Philistines are drunk, and they want to liven up their party a little, so they bring out Samson in order to mock him. 26. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple, so that I may lean on them." The pillars supported the temple, but only for as long as God would allow it. Verse 27. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof, watching while Samson performed. What a high price this man is paying for his rebellion. He has had his eyes gouged out. He is now being laughed at by thousands of ungodly Philistines. 28. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson is still self-centered. He's not concerned about the Philistines insulting God through their worship of Dagon. It's still all about him. Look it. Let me get revenge for my eyes. The Bible says we're to do all things for the glory of God. Samson still doesn't get it. 29. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And the people still didn't have a clue why Samson was grabbing those two pillars. They think they're still mocking a weakling. 30. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that were killed at his death were more than he killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. Samson cared about two things: revenge and putting an end to his miserable existence. He accomplished both. But what a waste of what could have been a great saint of God if he had only walked with the Lord. He died in disgrace, having done very little for the God who had blessed him with so much.